Hello, and welcome to the Carriers of Hope podcast. Are you tired of always striving for something and ending up at a dead end? Are you sick of searching in all the wrong places in hopes that you'll find your true identity? Do you want to find healing and walk in the freedom that it brings? Do you desire to have authentic relationships in your day-to-day life? Then this is the podcast for you. Hi, I'm your host, Sandy Cortez. This podcast will help you find truth, healing, and freedom, and will empower you to find your true identity. You will learn how to apply practical tools to teach you how to strive no longer, bring forth healing from your past wounds, and break away from your negative mindset. Let's begin this journey to help you start living the life you were intended to live. So grab your pen and paper, and let's start to rewrite your story. Hey guys, welcome to episode 26. Today's topic is help for dealing with the conflict jungles of our lives. And so basically, in a nutshell, it just means that we will be talking about conflicts. So the first thing I want to ask you is, how do you handle conflicts in your life? What is it that you do? How do you handle them? Do you avoid them? We are going to talk about where does it come from? Conflict can be neutral, why people avoid it, and even setting boundaries and holding to your own values and how to approach conflict. And so I'm excited to be sharing this because conflict was something that I was taught growing up that you just avoid, especially when no one's willing to address the issue and kind of learn or know how to navigate the conflict. Have you ever tried to speak to someone and basically in a nutshell, there was no resolution to the conflict or never agreed on anything? So that could be another reason why you avoid conflict altogether. Now, people do avoidance because of not wanting to fight, so they never address it. Or you can go to question and want to talk about it and people change the topic. Have you ever noticed that? Like, I wanted to talk to you about this, especially when relationships, when you're married, trust me, like they're not ready to talk about it or they try to avoid talking about it. Or at times people can be very passive aggressive and just want to change the subject altogether and then never confront it and just continue moving on like nothing ever happened. So where does this come from, guys? Where does this way of handling conflict at times happen? Where did it give birth to, like I like to say? Sometimes our family system or family dynamics is where it can stem from. Or maybe our culture that we saw that never, you were taught to not address things, to avoid conflict altogether. I want to ask you something. How was it taught or modeled in your life growing up? Was conflict taught as a bad thing? Or addressing things was disrespectful? Or because you were younger and you were trying to correct an adult, it was played as being disrespectful, playing the disrespectful kid? Or maybe it could be rooted in some type of trauma and trickled down to where it just became normal to not avoid, to avoid conflict, or to not address conflict, rather. So, you know, with conflict, it's very neutral. It's neutral because the way that we respond determines if it's going to be a negative or positive. So really, you have the power in your hands to address, am I going to have the outcome become positive or negative? And a lot of times that can be out of your control, depending on how it falls on the other person's ears. But you can handle yourself in a way where it can be a positive experience for you, and you may even be proud the way you handled it, and maybe saying to yourself in the past, I've blown up when I've tried to address conflict, and so it's ended negatively. Or you may applaud yourself and say, you know what, I really handled that well, and that person was still upset, but I still kept my composure, and I handled it very well. So conflict can be very neutral. And also, you know what, the reality of conflict is inevitable. And how we respond to conflict, then that determines, wait, how's this going to play out? And it's okay to agree to disagree, like what my husband and I always say. The other person may still be angry at you, but the way that you handle it really falls on you. You can't control what other people's behaviors, emotions, feelings are involved. You can only take and own it for what how you approached it and the way that you decided this was going to go, if you're the one that's approaching the conflict. Now, when it's being brought to you, you again have the choice. And am I going to blow up? Am I going to argue? Am I going to yell? Am I going to stonewall? How do you handle conflict, guys? So when we don't address conflict, it can build a lot of resentment and bitterness. Trust me, guys. I have a situation that I'm actually currently working on or even walking out that I really struggle with. And it's at times that we don't want to address something because the outcome may not be good. It may affect family. And so therefore, nobody talks about it. But we know that there's a white elephant in the room, right in the middle of the room, staring at us. Everybody sees it, but nobody wants to talk about it. I'm the kind of person, I don't know if it comes with my job or not, but if there's a problem, there's always a solution. Let's talk about it, and then we can move on. I have a major problem when I don't address things, and that's when I become resentful or bitter because I'm thinking this could be all avoided if we just talked about it, heard each other's side, and then moved on. But then there are things that ramifications can come or consequences can come that could jeopardize the relationship. So my husband is always one to be the good guy and just say, you got to just learn to choose your battles, Sandy. A lot of times I want to put out every battle, but that's not really being realistic, right, guys? So don't be like me. Do not be like me. So think about when we don't address conflict, it brings up resentment. It brings up bitterness. Why? Because it's not being talked about or somebody's hurt you. And because it's not being talked about, it's just kind of just taking up the space inside of you. Well, think about Cain and Abel. How those two brothers were jealous of one another. Think about Sarah. Think about Joseph and his brothers, how they were jealous of their brothers and also sold them into slavery, left them in a ditch to die, and then picked them up and threw them into slavery. The Bible talks about stories of people that didn't handle conflict correctly. And a lot of times that is all stemmed on how do we handle it. Maybe we're not even sure how to have conflict resolution. I see this a lot in my marriages. I see this a lot even in my own challenges with conflict in my marriage and in my family dynamics as well. And conflict, one thing that you can know sure of, it's not going to kill you if you address it. It may feel uncomfortable and we may not want to address it. We may be stonewalling. We may try to avoid it or flee the scene, want to take coverage like, oh shoot, here's that person that wants to talk to me about this, or I know I should have talked to this person about this, and I don't know, I don't like the way they handle it, so I don't want to just address it, and you avoid it. So then you have to decide on what are you going to do when you do avoid it. Are you letting bitterness and resentment come in? We're kind of keeping track of the stuff that this person has done to you or to you. In James 1:19 through 20, it talks about everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So there's some things there that call for action. Everyone should be quick to listen. I teach a lot of my couples about active listening. And how to do that. A lot of times we think that we're listening, but we're ready to say, like, finish the next sentence or interrupt the person. So we're not being quick to listen here. And this is what the scripture is saying is be quick to listen and slow to speak. Like, hear it out and then speak. And one of the things that I have been guilty of where I've interrupted my husband when he has said something, he gets so mad at me because it's like, let me finish. Well, that's really saying that, like, hear me out and then be slow to say your response. because your response can make it or break it. Your response could be a good thing or bad thing. The response can make it become worse or can also cause like peace and resolution. And then it says, be slow to become angry. Now imagine when somebody is addressing a conflict, how many times have you gotten mad on, are you serious right now? Are you bringing this to the table? Like, really? So this is giving us even three things to really look out for in James is be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why? Because human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. It doesn't produce good things when we are not listening, when we are not watching how we're saying things, and also we let our anger take the best of us. And so that's kind of a really hard scripture at times, I think. It's like, okay, help me not to be angry here, God. And I find myself, and you know what, guys? My face, I posted this on Instagram, I think, or Facebook was, it's not my mouth that needs deliverance, but more of my face. So I have to even watch my body language when someone is addressing something with me or when I'm addressing something with them. And one of the things that I used to always do, and again, I'm here to teach you not to make the same mistakes that I did, people. And my husband would say something and I'd just roll my eyes. And then one day he finally looked at me as sweet as pie and said, you know, it really does hurt my feelings when I'm talking to you about something and you just roll your eyes. It just shows me that you don't care about what I'm saying and you're not really listening. And man, did that fall like a ton of bricks on my heart, because I thought, he's right. What am I saying by my body language? Am I really listening? Because I'm too busy like focused on what I'm hearing and not liking what I'm hearing. And I had to really work on that, guys, because it was a challenge for me. It's important that we monitor and be aware of our reactions, particularly in a conflict jungle. And I call this the conflict jungle because there is this book that me and my daughter did, and it gave this chapter on like conflicts in the jungle. And basically was just coming up with keywords when there was conflict that was getting ready to start. And I actually want to throw this in here. That's not on my notes, but I think it's important that there's keywords that you use with your family when you want to address something. Like me and my husband's keywords are, is it safe? That's telling us I'm getting ready to hit you with something that you may not like, or that's going to be hard, or I need your full attention on. And it tells us, okay, prepare your face, prepare your ears to hear, and your body language for whatever is getting ready to come out of our mouths. With my daughter, we came up with this thing called chili peppers. Chili peppers, anytime she hears the word chili peppers, she already knows, uh-oh, somebody's losing their cool. It's getting hot in here. And so what are we doing? What's going on right now that's causing this? And it's more of an awareness, like conflict's getting ready to happen or a disagreement if we're not careful. And so it's important to make sure that you monitor and be aware of your reactions, particularly in any conflict jungles that you may be having in your life. And I call them conflict jungles because in the jungles, it's like you don't know what's coming. You can get hit by a tree limb. You can trip on a piece of wood. You can find a snake. You can get bitten up by bugs and insects. You never know what a jungle looks like. So when conflicts come, you don't know how it's going to play out because you don't know A, B, C, or D, you know, or even have not all the information you need that is being given to you or being misunderstood by the other party that may be addressing a conflict. So I always tell people, you don't know the whole situation, so always remember that. If somebody's approaching you, somehow you gave off a vibe that could have been misinterpreted, and they took it a wrong way, and whatever their filters are, you don't know. So let's hear their hearts out. And one of my things that I learned the hard way and the hard school of knocks of being a parent with my boys was, these are my feelings. And it's funny because I tell my couples that I statements, these is I am feeling this way. I'm not saying you're doing that, it's I. And my children used to always say, Mom, this is how I'm feeling. These are my feelings. And I would be so like clueless to that. Like, felt would get on the defense, and I'm like, this is how they feel, so why am I like watering that down? And so I've learned a lot of mistakes, guys, through this, like parenting with teenagers and boys, and now my daughter, marriage, coworkers, jobs. I mean, so many different things that I'm like, I need to learn how to resolve conflict in a healthy way. Because growing up, you weren't allowed to say anything. You weren't allowed to approach anything. And if you did, it was disrespectful. So to me, my whole life, I spent just kind of putting up with stuff and never saying anything. And then when I felt like I was grown enough, then I was acting like a two-year-old kid, having tantrums everywhere and not knowing how to speak. Because I was literally like, imagine a two-year-old throwing himself on the floor, having a tantrum because they didn't get their way. So guys, learn from me. I'm telling you. I'm giving you good stuff here so you don't make the same mistakes that I've made. So let's continue. It's good to address the conflict because addressing it concerns and it's concerning. It's good. It's healthy for you to address. And it's also you're seeking resolution. Like, I want to resolve this. I don't want to continue to be angry or bitter about this or hold resentment towards this person because that's not good for you or your body or your environment. You know, and then it feels a whole lot better than sitting with resentment, anger, discord when you're dealing and talking about these things that have taken place and even seeking wisdom from other people. Like I've sought from my friends, like, hey, I said this. What do you think? Was I wrong in this? And being ready to hear that if I'm wrong, I'm going to own it and I'm going to go and clean it up. And there are times that I've had to go and clean it up and that didn't feel so good. So then I started to become even clever, like, okay, Sandy, you better not say anything that you're going to have to go ask for forgiveness because that's even hard. It's like the Wizard of Oz and the witch that's melting, asking someone to forgive you for the actions that you caused or the way that you handled that whole situation. Those have been ugly things for me and even more harder than if I just would have addressed it in a right manner and carried myself accordingly, you know, and handled it right. And at times I've missed a mark in that, guys. So why do you think that people avoid conflict in their lives? Remember, it can be due to family systems, family of origin, a culture thing. Maybe it was addressed poorly. Maybe you weren't allowed to speak or had no voice like what I shared earlier. Maybe you were punished for addressing something that bothered you, that you shared with a friend, like, I don't like when you do this, and she stopped being your friend. Or you shared it with a guy that you were dating, and they're like, I don't want to be with you, it's too much, or you're too sensitive. And now you're being punished for addressing and taking a stand for you. And one of the things I used to always say when I teach my clients on boundaries is that you don't need to apologize for setting boundaries, so remember that. And I used to say that, I'm so sorry, but I have X, Y, and Z to do, you know, and justifying why I have to say no. And I just thought, I don't need to say all of that. And I don't need to apologize because I am taking a stand for me. And if I can't do it, I can't do it. And some people don't like that. So when addressing conflict, it can be a way of punishment used against you for you taking a stand for yourself. And I've seen that a lot with relationships or even parents with a child, where the child is bringing something to the parent and now they don't want to talk to them or stonewalling, which guys, I've done the same thing as well, where they were calling out something that I did that wasn't okay to do or that I hurt their feelings on. And I had to like really decide whatever or say, you know what, that was not okay. And I vaguely remember just the situation with my daughter just saying something to her that I just flamboyantly just said, not thinking, that really hurt her feelings. And like days later, she came out, we're casually just talking about something. And she's like, yeah, when mom said this. And I'm like, what? I didn't say that. She's like, oh, yes, you did. And I'm like, then it like hit me like a ton of bricks, like, wow, that wasn't okay. And right there, I took the opportunity to apologize to my daughter. And that was another thing I never saw growing up was apologizing for something that your actions or the way that you carried yourself. Absolutely not. Because that would show weakness as parents is how my parents kind of displayed things and the way that they handled conflict. So The next one is, why do people avoid conflict? Is because they saw maybe a relationship deteriorate due to them addressing something that's associated or where that was been very destructive. So even just saying like, you know what, I want us to get counseling because of how verbally abusive or emotionally abusive or the fact that you're hitting me, I'm going to go start seeing a counselor for that. And they become offended because you're trying to figure out how to resolve this conflict or addressing something. I'm going to do this if you don't change this. And the relationship deteriorates. I've had people just say even to their significant other, like, you're just way too sensitive. I can't do this with you anymore. And they, you know, break off the relationship. And they go off with someone else and they're having the same problems that they had in this relationship over there now. And then they think it's the person that's doing it when it takes two to tango, but not owning, like, I was wrong in this. Or, you know what, you were correct. I did handle this wrong or poorly. And so remember, it can be due to family and systems. It could be due to how it was addressed growing up poorly, maybe not having a voice. Maybe being punished for something that has really bothered you, or you saw it in relationships and the relationship deteriorated. So therefore you're like, well, I saw what happened with that relationship and I don't want that to happen to me. And so you never go and address it, which is not a good thing, guys. So the other part is setting boundaries and holding to your values is going to be really important. Finding out, what are my boundaries, or why do I not talk about this, or why does it take, like what I would say, a 4th of July event to occur? Now, guys, when does 4th of July happen? And you're saying, 4th of July. No, yes, 4th of July, but it also happens only one time a year. And so I would call these things in my life of conflict a 4th of July moment. It only happens once a year where I can explode because I've been holding on to all of these things and never addressing them as they're coming, because you're trying to avoid conflict. So who wants to have a 4th of July event, right? That's not barbecuing, fireworks. Girl, guys, I had my own fireworks and things were roasting and it wasn't meat or marshmallows, okay? So, you know, don't have those 4th of July moments with your friends and loved ones or relationships. Learn how to address conflict in a healthy way and set boundaries. And if you don't know about boundaries, I have a episode that I did that addresses on how we treat people, how to treat us. And it talks about the different boundaries to set and how you have the power on how people are going to treat you, good or not. So make sure you follow up on that one. But this particular area with conflict is setting boundaries and holding to your values. So let's say you may come from a family that sweeps under the rug things, right? So you're used to sweeping things under the rug. Well, it's now time to create an awareness, like, this is how my parents handle it. This is what I saw growing up, and nobody ever liked to talk about it. Problems were going on, everybody knew, but nobody wants to address. And so you may have seen it sweeped under the rug and pretending that problems aren't there or people that were struggling to really address it. And like, even with my family, my parents were married for 25 years and there was challenges in their marriage and they wound up divorced after 25 years, guys. And I've seen it a lot that happens in marriages, especially in Christian families, where no one has any idea that things are going on and conflicts are happening and they don't know how to make it work. They're too embarrassed to go seek help or accountability or let someone know because they're afraid of looking bad or not looking like they had it all together. Ding, ding, ding. Envision my hands going up. Both hands are going up right now because that was me for many years. And I can't tell you how much I love counseling. And even being in counseling for myself has helped me to grow as an individual. Having accountability partners has helped me to grow. And having really good friends that love me and will tell me the truth and speak it in love and say, Sandy, that wasn't handled well. Or, hey, let's try this. Or, hey, where does this stem from? And helps me to walk out like, yeah, where does that come from? Because I've never been asked that, or I've never thought about that. And so get yourself some good friends that are going to love you through whatever challenges you're going through, that you can just bounce off back and forth on just ways on what do you think about this, or how do I handle that, how would you have handled that, and then forgive yourself. Don't allow the enemy to hold you in shame and guilt, you know, if you have never handled conflict effectively, you know, and today you're thinking, oh my God, here, here, and here is where I'm seeing that I wasn't really good at that. But remember what the Word of God says, my people perish because lack of knowledge. Before today, maybe you didn't know how to handle conflict, or maybe were never aware of, wow, it stems from my parents, or it stems from this. And today there's an awareness that's happened. So give yourself credit that now you're learning the new tools on how to address those things accordingly. And if not, then you bring someone else in to kind of help you be a witness to what you're saying is also a good idea too. When you've approached someone and maybe they're not hearing you, maybe bringing in someone else so that they can witness that I tried to make this right, or I tried to vocalize it, and here it is, and what this is the outcome. So it is important to address the conflict so that you can hold on to your own values and boundaries, guys. It's important. Like, you need to have, like, what do you stand for? What are you okay with? And what can you compromise in? And addressing things that are going on in your life. And if you are afraid of offending someone for addressing a conflict, or you're afraid of looking bad, or they're going to go back and talk about you and all of that stuff that we let our minds go wild in. Yeah, so what? People will talk. So what? They may get offended. But taking a stand for you on how something is going on in your life that it's not okay, or that you really want to talk about, or that you want to reconcile or restore the relationship in hopes that if you address it, it will. There's times that I've addressed things with my own family and it didn't go well, or there was no resolution, unfortunately. And I had to let it go and give it to God. Like, okay, God, like, I've done this, but nothing's changing. And you can't make someone see something they're not ready to see, or willing to see, or willing to go there. It's only when they're ready. And you're not going to be able to change that person or convince that person if they're not in agreement with what that conflict is. So how do we approach it? This is the key. How do we go and approach the conflicts, guys? So you stay present and mindful on how you are expressing yourself. Use your words, not someone told me, or you're doing this, or like what I said earlier, I statements, I felt this way. And that's going to be really important, because this is going to be impactful on how this conversation goes or plays out. Now, you may say, I've done all that, Sandy, and it still was a blowout. Okay, all right, I got you. And there's times, like I said earlier, that some people are not going to agree with you, but at least you took the stand on what you wanted to address, the conflict. And if there was not a positive outcome, but you did everything you could to present it to the table and did it right and walked away at peace with it, then that's what you have to stay with. So number one is stay present and mindful on how you express and use your words. Watch your body language. Don't be rolling your eyes when someone's coming to you, girls and guys, like I did with my husband. And I had to learn to do half rolls. And then now I'm like, okay, good. I'm not there anymore where I roll them. And trust me, that those little roll eyes sneak in there sometimes. And my husband's like, did you just roll your eyes? Yes, baby, I'm sorry. Where before I was in major denial or didn't want to confess that I was rolling my eyes. So then also watch that body language, guys. Watch how you're sitting. Watch how you're presenting yourself. You're heavily breathing, or your voice is accelerating. It's like, okay, all right, this is not what I want, because this is not going to be good for the other party on what they're receiving or interpreting. So number two is gently approach. Name the conflict. Now, don't go in naming A, B, C, D, E, N, E, F, G. This is everything you did to me. Start at one conflict at a time. Or if it's a similar conflict, then say, you know what, this is when you did that. And again, you did this same thing on that day. But if you're trying to come in there and address like seven different things, that's a lot and overwhelming for the person, right? And I've done that as well with my children and my husband, where I've addressed things and it feels like an AR just shooting away, or a machine gun shooting bullets everywhere. And by then they've toned you out and it's just like, okay, like how this is not going well. So gently approach, name the conflict, not all the conflicts. And then remember, you're not there to attack them or cause any harm to them or verbally attack them because you're hurt by whatever they've done. But you're here to address the problem that's happening, and you're wanting to seek resolution. You're wanting to seek restoration. You're wanting to reconcile if it's a relationship or a friendship that has not been going well. And so the other thing is too, that I recall a very dark season of my life in 2014, where I just felt like nobody understood what I was going through. And I really like stonewalled my friends, guys. And I'm not proud of that. I missed out on a lot of years because I thought they're going to judge me. What are they going to think of me? I don't have it all together. And it was a really dark season, very lonely for me. And guess what, guys? I owned it. I went back to those friends and we picked up right where we left off. And it was so hard to just really own it and say, you know what? I just felt like maybe you didn't understand me. I was embarrassed of the situation that I was in and I didn't know how to handle it. And so I just stonewalled and isolated myself. I really didn't learn how to cope with that situation that was going on in my life and just felt like if I can't cope with it, no one's going to understand because this is a new experience. And it was a very, very tough situation that I was facing and that affected my entire family. And so I just thank the Lord that they were willing to just forgive me and we picked up right where we left off. And, you know, when you have good friends, you've got to cherish those because a lot of times in our lives, we don't have really good friends that we can just trust and just kind of talk to and be silly with and be raw with and that will love you and not judge you, not condemn you when you missed a mark, but will encourage you to be better, that you were created for greatness. And those are not, like I tell my daughter all the time, like, you know, I don't have lots of friends and I'm okay with that. I have a handful of friends that I go to that I can just share life with and they meet me where I'm at. And we're not perfect and have our own challenges, different lives that we live, but we love each other and are there for one another, especially when things become hard. And so I want to encourage you in that, whatever friendships you may have that you feel like, you know what, I need to address this and own it. Or maybe someone really hurt you and you've not talked to them anymore. Or maybe you were in a relationship that was very toxic for you and you thought, well, you know, let me let this go and didn't even explain why. And you left the person with what happened. Even with friendships, that happens a lot too, where it's just like, I'm done talking to you. I don't want to be your friend. Or you hear something from someone else, so you decide you don't want to be friends with them, but you don't know the full story. Remember, you don't know the whole situation about what that person is facing. And it's interesting because we went out to eat with some of our friends, and she told the waitress that we have 10 people. The restaurant was opening at 11. We just got there shortly after. And basically, she told her, we have 10 people. The waitress was looking at her like, really, 10 people? And kind of had an attitude. And my friend was just like, what the hell? Like, what's going on? Why is she acting this way? Long story short, I remember walking into hearing this situation. Of course, I'm ready to beat up anybody that hurts my friends, right? Not literally, but you know, like, I got your back kind of thing. But I recall just sitting there and just kind of observing and just seeing like, man, you don't know what that person's going through. You don't know what happened before we came in here. You know, mind you now, that doesn't mean give us bad service or have an attitude. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying sometimes we forget what people are going through or don't have no idea why they're responding in a hurtful way or hurting you or have hurt you. But yet we don't know what's going on. So even like that 2014 for me, I was very hurt by the situation that I was in. And so then I thought, I don't want to be around people. I don't want to be judged. I'm not handling this well. I don't want people to see me this way. Thought I was weak. All these different lies that I just spent so many years wasting. And yet the Lord restored those relationships. and I came out okay, guys. So I'm not sure what you're facing today, but today's topic is really to address conflicts that are going on in your life and how long are you going to hold on to it. Let's say that you've never addressed conflict throughout your life. Well, be the catalyst. Be the one that brings change. Be the one that says, you know what? I didn't have this growing up. This wasn't modeled well, but I'm going to be the change. I'm going to be open and I'm going to step up and teach others on, hey, let's talk about this in a, you know, healthy manner and name the things as they are. Name those things that have hurt you. And remember using I statements, right? This also, when you're being the catalyst, it helps to bring healing and it's also working towards resolution and living as a whole, like as a whole human being and not using avoidance or denial of the different things that is taking place in your life, because it's not good for your well-being anyway when you try to avoid and be an avoider all your life and don't want to feel the pain of that. And I have so many clients that don't want to talk about their past because they're not there anymore, but yet their past is still affecting their future. And so the other thing that I want to encourage you to do is pray on it. Like, take it to God about the conflicts that are going on in your life today. Ask and seek guidance and wisdom on how to approach your loved ones that are stuck in a cycle, or that when conflict comes, it's this cycle that never gets addressed. You know, and basically ask God for wisdom. Go to friends that can hold you accountable and asking them for wisdom on, what do you think? Am I overreacting? Should I let this go or not? Then take it to people, like talk to people with wisdom, like talk to people who are involved, seek their counsel because they can help you with conflict resolution. Don't go to someone that you know is like your BFF because you know your BFF is going to team up with you. Like I did with my friend when she told me about the lady, the waitress having an attitude. I got an attitude. Because why? Because I thought, why are you getting an attitude with my friend, right? So you don't want to do that. And then it's like, even in those situations, you know, she's a very good friend of mine. I have to tell her, I need you to remain neutral in this. Like, tell me what you see. And she will. She'll tell me like, Sandy, you're wrong. Or no, I agree with you. I think that was done right. Or no, that wasn't done correctly. And here, let's figure out how we can change that. Or maybe this is the approach I would use for next time. And so the other thing that my husband always says is pick your battles. Choose whether you're willing to go into addressing something. Choose it wisely. Like with me, I want to fight every battle, right? Well, that's not productive. That does not even get me anywhere. But in my head, I'm like, I need to address this, 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 and this, this. No. Out of this, what do you really need to address? Ask yourself if it's worth it. Will it help me to then do this and address it? Or is it going to be like, you know what, I've addressed things like this with this person before, no resolution. Why are you even wasting your time then? Because then you're going to be more frustrated because nothing came out of that. Then discern whether it's the right move to just, you know, to talk about this or the right timing. Sometimes there's a lot going on. Remember, you don't know the whole situation of why this is going on or what's going on in that person's life. So maybe it's not a good time to approach things when you see someone else's life is either falling apart or things have happened, you know, and that they can't seem to take one more thing on, and this is not the right timing to address things, right? Remember that God walks with you when we're facing challenging situations. He's going to equip us with guidance and wisdom if there's something that's really laying on your heart that's really hurting you. A lot of times in my life, there's things that have really hurt me, and I'm like, you know what? I want to just have the Lord really heal this area of my life and never even address the person, because that's what I felt like God was telling me to do, like, let this go. I will help to bring you healing. And so addressing conflicts can help break the family system or things that you have been modeled, even the culture that you were raised in. And we can grow closer in our relationships if it's handled in a healthy manner or in a positive way. And then take a step of faith and move forward, healing in your relationships. Going to God when you don't know or something has really hurt you. versus holding on to the bitterness and resentment. Because trust me, you can be this person that looks so happy out on the outside, but in the inside, you're being eaten up by all the toxins of bitterness, resentment, anger, even people that have moved on today that you're still holding unforgiveness towards, or things that they have been done to you that haven't been handled. The conflicts have never been talked about. But I do know this, that God can bring healing to your hearts. So be the catalyst. Pray on it. Talk to people that have wisdom, that are going to be neutral with you. Learn to pick your battles, knowing that, you know what, I'm going to be better at conflict resolution with my friends and family. And I'm going to seek wisdom. I'm not going to hold on to the negative energy. And remember how you carry yourselves. Do you want the experience to be a positive or a negative one for you? Because you cannot control what the other person handles or carries themselves when you go to address something, but you can handle your outcome on how you handled it, on how you ended it, on how it was addressed. And so that's what this is about. Not the other person necessarily, but the way that you're going to carry yourselves and how you're going to handle things from here on out with conflicts. Thank you for listening to the Carriers of Hope podcast. If you found value in today's episode, will you head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the channel and go ahead and leave me a review? Be sure to share it with your friends and family, and together we can help breathe hope one life at a time. If you're interested in doing a coaching session, let's connect at carriersofhope.com. And be sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Carriers of Hope.